Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Hope you're getting through your Thursday okay. We're almost to the weekend. Waddle and Sylvie, we're hoping you're safe and healthy. And a shout out to everyone who makes the world go round these days. And that is so many different people, especially in today's day and age. And we're always open for shout-outs at 312-332-3776. There's big Bulls news. P.J. Carlissimo, of course, is a former NBA head coach, former college coach. He's also one of the great voices of the game, and he joins us right now on Waddle and Sylvie. P.J., how are you and your family?
Family's great. Thank you very much. We're in Seattle, so we're kind of a week ahead of the rest of the country because we had the big outbreak here initially in Kirkland, which is very close to Seattle, and we're kind of used to it now. We've been quarantined for a long time. We're doing a good job with the social distancing, and our two sons are hanging in. One's in high school, one's in eighth grade, and they're doing all the digital learning, so we're doing well, and so far so good. Appreciate it. I hope everybody there is good.
Yeah, thank you. So the million-dollar question that Waddle and I want to know from you is, how do you pronounce his name correctly?
Well, let me do a disclaimer, first of all. The person who, I don't know if you've talked about her yet, but the person who really deserves a lot of the credit, along with, and I'm going to say Arturis, is Kim Bahouni, who's a vice president in the NBA and basically is the queen of all international basketball as far as the NBA is concerned. And Sharunas Marshalonis gets credit, but it was really Kim who first told me about Arturis. And I was scouting the 90 European championships in Zagreb, I believe. Yugoslavia won it, led by Drazen Petrovic. And that's she took me to the hotel where the Soviet team, it was the USSR in those days, was staying, and I went into the room of Sharunas Marshalonis, and his roommate was Arvydas Sabonis, who later on I got to coach him in Portland. And they kind of knew, I think Arvydas did not, but Sharunas knew of me because the prior year, 89, we had gotten to the NCAA championship in Seattle. And so I think Sharunas kind of, you know, at that point knew that Seton Hall was a college in the States. And basically the story was, I've got a young Lithuanian player who would love to go to college in the United States. And, you know, the extent of my scouting was, I said, how good a player is he? And Sharunas goes, he's very good. That was it. Sight unseen, we agreed. And at the time, he spoke no English whatsoever. And that long story way of saying, I've called him always Arturis Karnishevas. Kim Bahouni still says to this day, I don't know how to pronounce his name. So you better go to Arturis to make sure. She claims I mispronounced it all the time he was in school and all the time since then. But I've always called him Arturis Karnishevas.
I mean, I'm happy to hear that, because we're two boobs on the radio. This has been going on forever, because Waddle and I have called him five different names in the span of the entire week.
Well, he's used to Arturis Karnishevas. Whether it's right or not, I don't know. But the knucklehead he played for in college called him that for 4 years and has called him that ever since. So he and his wife Gina have been very tolerant. If Kim's right also, it's going to be one of the few times in her life that she's been correct. So, but she literally is the one who deserves the credit for us being fortunate enough to get him at Seton Hall.
Okay, PJ, what do the Bulls have in AK?
Well, let me say first of all, let me talk about his credentials first of all, and then I'll do a point at the end. Uniquely qualified because he was an excellent player. He's the only player. You know what? Miles Powell this year may have duplicated his feat prior to this year, and I don't know if Miles did start for 4 years. Arturis was the only player who ever started for 4 years at Seton Hall on four NCAA teams. I started all 4 years and was not a good player. Was an excellent player for us. I mentioned when he came to Seton Hall, he spoke not a word of English. He graduated. He was, I know, his junior year, and I think his senior year also, my senility creeping in here, he was the scholar athlete in the Big East Conference. went from not speaking a word of English to he was the scholar athlete in the Big East Conference. His junior year, and I think his senior year also, was an excellent player for us. We won a couple of Big East championships, a couple of Big East tournaments, and, of course, went to the NCAA all 4 years. Should have been drafted. In those days, the NBA was not as good scouting internationally as they are now. He went over and he played, and he really played basically for, I would say, three for sure, maybe the four iconic franchises in Europe. I mean, in Greece, he played for Olympiakos, which is, you know, usually the FC Barcelona. In Italy, he played for Fortitudo Bologna. And he also played for Cholet in France. If they're not the number one, they're the number two team. Great career playing internationally, was a EuroLeague Player of the Year, won championships. NBA teams repeatedly wanted him to come back and play, but they wouldn't come up with the guaranteed money. And he was making, you know, a decent living, to put it mildly, in Europe. And he was an established player. And again, you know, it was like, you know, why do I? It would have been like a kind of a Ginobili or Luis Scola coming back after they've established themselves in Europe. But I don't think they ever came across with the guaranteed money. So he stayed over there, but he was easily good enough to be a very good player in the NBA. So he's got tremendous international contacts, understands the game, was not a good player, was an extremely good college and professional player. After he gets done playing, he works in the NBA office for 4 or 5 years. So he's wired in with the NBA in terms of having literally worked in the office and was involved both internationally and in the States with the NBA. Then he starts working for teams. He works for Houston, as I think primarily as an international scout. But now you've got somebody who knows not only international basketball, but played for 4 years at the highest level in the United States, played in the Big East Conference, has tremendous contacts with the colleges and the coaches in the NCAA, works for Houston, you know, obviously a very successful franchise, learned an awful lot there. Then he goes to Denver, first of all, as an assistant GM, later on as a general manager under Tim. So, I mean, you've got somebody that knows international, knows collegiate, knows the NBA, worked in the NBA office itself, the league office, and worked for teams both as a scout and as an executive, a general manager, a top play. On top of that, I would say forget all those qualifications. The person is a better person than the qualifications. You're getting just an absolutely world-class individual in terms of the kind of person he is. So, to me, an absolute home run hire by the Bulls.
That is a great scouting report. We're talking to PJ Carlissimo. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. You gave us, PJ, unintentionally one of the great sound bites of this year when you went on with Carmen and Yurko and they asked you about the Bulls. And you said, look, I don't get to see the Bulls. They're never on the national TV or radio game. So my question to you is, will he put them back on the map?
He will, and I know this is the last thing you or the Bulls fans are going to want to hear if they're patient. That's not a overnight fix. I'm sure you guys are aware of that. I'm sure you know everybody in Chicago is. I'm sure they're also tired of hearing it. But it's still one of the absolute iconic franchises in the league. I still think it's – I think it's a fantastic opportunity for our tourists, but I think it's also – I think they've got somebody that understands – you know, how you build a team. I think he was a part. I give Tim Connelly obviously a ton of credit, but he was a part of the success at Denver. I think he contributed when he was at Houston, but he understands. And again, I think he understands people maybe more so than anything. And I think he people are going to love him when they meet him, when they hear him talk. He's such a nice person, and I say that as a compliment. No one's ever called me a nice person, but he's a nice person. But don't confuse his manner to the fact that he's not aggressive and competitive. He was an unbelievable competitor as a player, but he comes across as just the first thing some people are going to say is what a nice guy he is, very impressive, you know, very well-spoken, it seems maybe a little bit quiet when you first meet him. Don't be fooled. Tremendous, tremendous competitor as a player and will be as an exec. And I really believe he's going to be a home run for the Bulls.
PJ, from my perspective, the one thing that I've always been critical of, at least early on or you know, this year was the lack of development with some of their young guys, whether it's Lauri Markkanen or some of the other players. What is the key to developing young players?
Well, I think it's two things, and I think, you know, I've known JB 100 years, and I know JB can coach. It's always been like an eternal debate in the NBA. What's the best way to bring along young players? Is the best thing to be on a really good team where you've got veteran players and you don't have to do a lot and you kind of learn the ropes and you know, become a contributor and then you kind of take the next step? Or you get thrown into the deep end like most of the, you know, the high picks get, you know, get it. They play a lot of minutes on teams that aren't very good, and you always wonder, you know, you always get the yeah, but. Hey, look, he puts up great numbers, but can he do it on a winning team? Can he do it when, you know, he's playing meaningful games, and more importantly, when he's playing in April, May, and June? And that's really a challenge. I've always felt that the better way is to come in on an established team and have veterans to lean on and learn it. And if you're a prodigy, if you're a LeBron or a Kobe, and even Kobe, people forget, you know, his first year or years really weren't that spectacular. But even if you're a prodigy, then fine. You get ever better. What happened with Kawhi Leonard, if you will, when he was in San Antonio? And Tim Duncan was the other extreme. Tim Duncan got there. Now, it wasn't like they were broke, but they had David. But, I mean, he hit the floor running the same way LeBron did and never looked back. But I think they're the exception. The average guy has got to learn how to play and, more importantly, how to win. And you got a couple of young guys that are very talented on the Bulls. There's no question about that. But, again, show me that you know how to win. Show me that you know how to be a part of a winning franchise. And more importantly then, show me if you can take that next step. You can learn how to win games in April, May, and June. And that's a different animal. It really is. So, again, that word that I'm sure people are tired of hearing, patience, and let guys develop. But it's a challenge, I think. I think it's a really, really enormous challenge to develop on a team that's not a successful team. Every once in a while, somebody does it in the league. They, you know, have young guys, and I'd say Oklahoma City did it to an extent when they had KD and Jeff Green, and then you had Russell Westbrook. But again, you know, when you say KD, not belittling Jeff Green at all because he's a hell of a player, but when you say KD and Russell, you're talking MVPs in the league, and even though they were young, they learned pretty quickly. By their third year, KD's third and Russell's second, they knew how to win. So you can do it that way, but again, when you get two MVPs, or two guys who turn out ultimately to be MVPs, it's a little bit easier.
Before we let you go, PJ, do you believe you'll be announcing playoff basketball this season?
I do. I hope so. But every once in a while, I get scared. Like the Governor Inslee here in Washington, just shut down the schools for the rest of the year. You know, where they kept bumping it back. Now they said, that's it. We're not coming back to school. So, it makes you think of like, well, you know, everybody's getting a little optimistic because the numbers are coming down here in Washington. And they say, yeah, but all of a sudden you want to throw a couple hundred kids together in a school and it's a little different. And that's the thing that concerns me about putting 18,000 people in these buildings again. Are we going to be confident enough that we've got this thing under control for it to happen? So I go from hoping one day I'm going to be doing it again to I might be for one day in Las Vegas. The last game I did, I'll finish quick, was Dallas at San Antonio on the March 10, I believe it was. I flew to Vegas the next morning. I was going to do the Pac-12 tournament and then 3 weeks of the NCAA. And they said, all right, you're going to be doing it in an empty building. That for about 3 hours, that's what we thought was going to happen. And then the next thing was, boom, shut it down. So I'm thinking there's a chance, and it's totally uninformed, just a feeling. We may be looking at empty buildings first, and they were kidding us, said that practice your golf voice where you whisper what's being said, because you're going to be sitting courtside, and everybody, the players on the court for a good chunk of the game, are going to hear exactly what you're saying.
PJ, great stuff as always. We always appreciate your time, and all the best to you and your family.
Great Thanks, being PJ. With you. Please say hello to our tourists for me.
You got it. We hope to talk to him. So, Karnishevis is the way he has said it for the entire time. He doesn't know if he's right, but he did say that was a big debate there, too.
Karnishevis.
And all right, so coming up next, Jim Boylan did speak up about his future. What did he say? We'll tell you next.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays, 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Don't you love talking hoops with PJ Carlissimo?
Yeah.
He's, good dude, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know how I feel about anybody that comes on. And the majority of the people that come on and join us, we have a good relationship with. But I like to use the phrase, willing participants. And he loves talking basketball. And he's, you know, obviously he's got an affinity for Carnishivas. Yeah, it's fun to watch.
One day, Waddle, we're going to be...
Carnishivas.
It's going to be rolling off the tongue.
Did I get it right? Carnishivas?
Yes, but you did it with caution, I could tell.
Carnishivas.
Like,
Carnishivas. Yeah.
You did it correctly the way PJ says to do it.
Arturas right. Carnishivas.
It's that Esh Ace. Ooh, Esh.
Carnishivas. Carnishivas.
Hey, how you doing over there, Mel?
Actually, we have someone on the line right now if you wanted to go to Peter in Miami, our good friend Peter in Miami, P1 of the show, Peter in Miami, knows.
Peter in Miami is
he's
one
a
of,
big Carnishivas fan.
Carnishova.
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 Peter, what can you add to this? Save us here.
Okay, so listen, guys. As you know, I lived in Greece for many years, and as PJ said in the interview, he played for the iconic France of Olympiacos. After that interview, I kind of need a cigarette after that. But anyways, his name is pronounced Arturas Carnishovas.
Oh, no.
Carnishovas.
Carnishovas.
How many times did you roll your tongue there, Peter? Because I think somebody's just giving it up.
Carnishovas.
Arturas Carnishovas. It's a non-figure at the O. Carnishovas.
Hold on now here. Do you have those highlights that you played in the beginning here, Mellor, that we could play from? This is a foreign broadcast. I don't know if it's a Lithuanian broadcast.
It's Greek.
The one that was doing the Bulls
the
game?
The one that's doing the old Lithuanian highlights
is from
when he played for Olympiacos, if I'm not mistaken.
All right, yes. So listen to the way the announcer said it, though, Peter. They're not saying it like you. Mellor, roll that tape and let Peter
respond. Roll that tape, Mellor.
Σε τον Κανισόβα σε αυτή την κίνηση
Κανισόβας.
Και 19-12 η μεγαλύτερη διαφορά στο παιχνίδι. Ρότζερς.
Κανισόβας.
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 Κανισόβας. Πολύ ωραία για τον Ρότζερς εκεί το καλάθι δεν κάνετε. Έχουμε και το φάουλ. Την μπάλα φτάνει στο Κανισόβας. Το Κανισόβας που έχει πολλούς λόγους να παίζει καλά απέναντι στη Ρεάλ. Εύστοχος όμως είναι και ο Αρτούρας Κανισόβας. Ρότζερς. Χόκινς. Κανισόβας. Διστάζει από τα 7,5 μέτρα. Έχουν αλλάξει τα μαρκαρίσματα. Έχει πάει ο Μποτιρόγκα στο Ρότζερ. Ο Κανισόβα σου φτάνει από μακριά. Καρτζή είναι εύστοχο. Αρτούρα Κανισόβα.
Κανισόβα.
Yeah, they're saying it easy, and you're saying
could,
it because
if you guys want, I could translate that whole highlight clip for you. That is 100% Greek.
At any point, wait, Peter. At any point, did they mention a coaching change here in Chicago? And if they did, I'm all in, and you could call him whatever you want.
Okay, listen, if that doesn't happen, then we have a big problem. But his name is Arturas Carnishovas. Carnishovas. Announce it and the O. Carnishovas.
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 It's not that hard. You just have to, you'll get into it. Carnishovas.
What am I doing wrong, Peter? Carnishovas.
That's it. Carnishovas.
You were adding like a whole extra thing to it that the announcers weren't. I think you were making it a little more dramatic.
Added flair. What's wrong with a little flair?
I think I made his first name dramatic. The Arturas. Okay, that's fine.
Arturas.
Stick to Arturas, but the last name it's pronounced Carnishovas. You announce it at the O. Carnishovas.
Peter. Thanks, man.
It's not Carnishovas. I promise.
Carnishovas.
He makes it sound like that's the most Chicago pronunciation.
Carnishovas. Is Arturas Carnishovas.
I don't know what this guy does here, but this Carnishovas better bring in a new coach or else I'm not going to games again.
Tell us about Carnishovas 312-332-3776. Light it up.
Boy, I can't wait till the odds couple gets back on the air so I can hear the breakdown.
That's great.
I don't know what to tell you, Carm.
So what did Jim Boylan tell Joe Cowley?
So according to Joe Cowley, he put this out about almost an hour ago. I'll read directly from the article. Jim Boylan has done his best to remain off the grid throughout all the news concerning the front office restructure the last week. No interviews, no discussion with the media. But the That means the Bulls coach has simply been going about business of watching film, preparing as if the NBA will return to the court some point in the wake of the coronavirus shutdown. But what's he not dwelling on? His job security. According to a source close to the situation, Boylan has let it be known to his to members of his staff that he will accept any fate coming his way from his new front office and ownership, but fully expects that he will return to the head coaching seat next season.
No.
His one concern, according to the source, is with Arturas Karnisovas now calling the shots.
Well done.
Thank you. Boylan will at least hoping for a chance to sit down with his new bosses and discuss his year and a half on the job before they make a final decision.
No.
How do you say timeout in Lithuania?
Karnisovas.
How do you say 20 seconds left timeout?
Arturas Karnisovas.
Listen, I don't blame Jim Boylan for having that response. I mean, what are you going to expect? It's like, what do you expect if you ask Jim Boylan and say, no, I know my ass is gone and like I'm already packing my stuff up? No,
I'm
not going to say that.
I'm not.
I'm just telling you.
He was the best at putting lipstick on a pig. They lost by 25 and he'd stand up there and he says, we're growing, guys. I don't know how you don't see it, but we're growing.
Hell yeah.
And that's him saying, I'm going to be back.
Hell yeah.
Look, for every time they had an opportunity to praise him, they did. I mean, so he's kind of been moved along here over the course of with the old regime or the current regime until Karnisova comes in.
That was not good. Abdallah did it really good, and then you screwed it up.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be that way. But look, he's been told he says he's been doing what he's been asked to do. Whatever. I just think if you go to Jim Boylan and ask him what his expectation level is, he's going to put on a happy face and tell you his expectation is he's going to come back. He's not, but he's going to say.
Never say never. Never say never here. But I would think he's right about one thing. He's right that Karnisovas would be doing a malpractice.
You didn't do it right.
Karnisovas.
Karnisovas.
Arturas Karnisovas.
Karnisovas. He would be doing a malpractice if he wouldn't sit down and talk to the former coach and just get his thoughts on everybody.
Of course.
And then you fire him after that.
That's
meeting.
Fine.
You fire him after the meeting, but you sit down with him and you say, okay, what went well? What didn't go wrong? Who works? Who doesn't work? Who gave you problems? Who didn't? How do you get better going forward? Okay, thanks. And then you say, now go pack your stuff.
I would hope that he would also, which I'm sure he will, he'll speak with the players and get their input on this. They're professionals. You know? So, I mean, maybe not every one of them, but at least the guys that play a significant amount of time. So,
did you see, too, now what's going around in a GIF? Black retweeted it. You saw this, Abdallah, right? You get like a black alert on your phone as soon as he tweets anything.
I sit on TweetDeck and it just has a running screen.
Yeah, it just comes comes across with a kissy face on it, doesn't it?
No, I get alerts when Cap talks crap about me on a show when I'm not actually in the building.
That was a good. You had a good tweet back at him. What did you say? Is free rent? And then you had a picture of his head.
Yes,
it was good. That was good. Millennial humor. It really was. Good, I laughed out loud when I saw that.
Thank you.
So, like, Bleck retweeted a thing where the front office of Denver drafted Rudy Gobert and they traded him for cash considerations. And the Jazz and Denver's front office also drafted Donovan Mitchell and traded him.
Right. No, so listen, and that was in the article I read. It's not been, but I would suggest to you, most guys don't have a 100% clean resume. There will be mistakes. So
we should line up five callers and see who pronounces it the best, too, by the way.
Karnisovas.
All right. We'll talk some gambling coming up next with Prop Swap. They are an absolutely great spot. And we'll talk about the future of sports. And it's them. And that's next.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Yeah.
We all miss sports, obviously. We're waiting for any semblance of normalcy to return. Obviously, there are bigger fish to fry with a pandemic, but we're all hopeful, and we're all wanting to have the science lead the way. When will baseball return? The college football topic's an interesting one, too. I heard some really strange stuff this morning, Waddle. I want to get into that in a little bit. And with all of that goes gambling. And, you know, the thing that stunk, too, for the state is finally they dragged their feet so long. And then finally gambling was legalized.
Yes.
Just in time for everything to stop being played.
Oh, I know.
So I can't wait to gamble.
So frustrating.
And I want to introduce our great fans to Luke Pergandy, who is a great partner of ours. He is a Chicago guy. He grew up here. He's been a Waddle and Sylvie listener as well, Waddle.
Luke
is awesome. Ian's awesome, too. They founded Prop Swap, and this is a great site. They've brought you a lot of great contests here on ESPN 1000, and some it's really like an eBay for sports gambling.
Well, you know me when it comes to gambling. I have hedging on my mind. You've known that about me.
Yes.
Like, whenever I'm gambling and I've got a little something that feels right, I'm always up for a good hedge.
Right. You got a good ticket, you may want to sell it. You want to buy a good ticket that you didn't get a chance to buy. You may buy it for more than the other person bought it for, but you still may make a huge profit. And that's what they do. And I want to talk some futures with Luke here in a minute. But, Luke, congratulations on all the success from Prop Swap. How are you doing today?
Good, Mark. Hey, Tom. How are you guys?
Doing well. And you're coming up against a pretty important anniversary for you guys, aren't you, Luke?
Yeah, a year ago, probably the best week in Prop Swap history. A year ago, Monday was the national championship for basketball, and then, of course, today would have been the start of the Masters. And both of those events, Prop Swap kind of became famous for. There was a guy that bet $1,500 on Texas Tech at 200-1 odds back in December, and holy cow, Texas Tech advances to the national championship to face Virginia. So this guy had a decision to make. He bet $1,500, and the ticket now is worth $150,000.
Wow.
Going into the Virginia game. And he got a bid, multiple bids, on PropSwap for $150,000. And we were on, you know, ESPN's Around the Horn, we were on Barstool, CBS, I mean, you name it, all discussing what would you do in this situation. Would you sell the ticket for, you know, a mortgage, $150,000, or would you let it ride with the potential to cash for $300,000? And of course, this game goes into overtime against Virginia. I mean, this guy is just got to be having a panic attack. He was in Las Vegas. You know exactly what casino he was in. He was at the Westgate. And, you know, they end up losing. They lost in overtime to Virginia. So this ticket is a coaster now. And he had the opportunity, multiple opportunities, to sell this thing on PropSwap for $150,000, and he declined it.
Wow. What is your philosophy, Luke? I mean, obviously, you have skin in this game here, and you like when people buy and resell and everything like that. But if you've got a ticket, like, are you a Bears fan, right?
Yeah.
So you buy a ticket, say, the futures of the Bears to win the Super Bowl this year, and you have a chance to make a lot of money. Are you a hedger, or are you a guy who likes to go all the way with it?
Yeah. So I always want to be walking away with profit, right? Warren Buffett, best investor of all time. No one ever went broke taking profit. Right, that's his famous line ever. And he's totally right. Right. You can't go broke if you take small profits. And with me, in your example, I would make two Bears wagers. Right. So once sports betting resumes, there's going to be an NFL season. I have full faith that the NFL resumes. You go to Rivers or whatever your local casino is, get two tickets at 40-1 odds, bet $100 on each of them. So one ticket you can sell, and then the other ticket you can hold in case Nick Foles, my boy from Arizona, takes us to the Super Bowl. We end up beating, you know, the Chiefs or whoever comes out of the AFC. So in that situation, you could sell one, lock in, you know, $800, $1,000, and then hold on to the other one and ride it out.
That's smart.
That
I like
is good.
You went to, and so you know Nick Foles well, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, we went to college together. Our girlfriends at the time lived together. So we would hang out, you know, Sunday morning just watching NFL games.
Is the legend true, Luke? Is the legend true?
The legend is true.
That's an odd question, Sylvie. I mean, it just, I mean, it's, I guess it's apropos. How many, but here's what I have to know. How many times do you have to hear the answer to that question till you actually believe it, Sylvie? Because this isn't the first time that the question's been asked.
Yeah.
Like, that's my question. Anyway, can I get a play on which quarterback, like, is there a futures, a prop bet on which quarterback will start the opening game of the season for the Bears?
That's a great question. I haven't seen it. I bet you will have that prop listed come, you know, August or September. DraftKings and FanDuel both love to hang stuff like that. That's a great prop that should be up on the board.
Yeah, I'm going to put my money on your buddy, Big Nick. That's where my money goes.
Yeah, I don't know how you side with number 10 after his last two seasons. That was abysmal.
Luke, are you in Vegas, too? You're in Vegas, aren't you?
No, I'm in Atlantic City, New Jersey.
Okay, so, and I think Ian's in Vegas. I mean,
correct.
What has this been like for people like you who gamble, who make gambling your living?
Yeah. I mean, you can throw all of our 2020 projections out the window, you know, so that's things. And, you know, March is our biggest month. We always have the strongest month of the year in March. March Madness plus Masters, both of those are just built for props. We have people all the time saying, oh, my gosh, like golf is just built for you guys. So we historically have extremely strong Marches and Aprils. So it will sting. You got to just make up for it in the fall. But from a New Jersey perspective, it's pretty eerie seeing these giant casinos just have, you know, be totally lights off, orange barriers around them. I'm sure you guys have seen videos in Vegas. Like, the Strip is just, you can hear a pin drop on the Strip for, you know, March Madness weekend. That place is just roaring with people on March Madness weekend one and the national championship. So it's pretty eerie in the gambling cities, no doubt. These places never closed in the last, you know, for 30 minutes. And now you're going to tell me they're closed for 90 days. It's crazy.
Luke, I know this may not be, you know, your specialty, but I'm very interested to know your perspective on how you think lines for games without fans will be affected.
Yeah. So there's absolutely data that proves that umpires are affected by the crowd. There is empirical data that shows that umpires try to appease the home crowd. The home crowd advantage is not players play better. Like, that's false. That's a myth. The home field advantage is that the umps make calls that favor the home team because everyone, we're social and we want to appease our friends and appease the people around us. So, and it's not their fault. They don't do it on purpose. They just do it by, by instinct. So there's no question that, you know, teams out here in Philly, the 76ers are notorious for being an excellent home court team, but they're horrendous on the road. So if they're forced to go play games in, you know, Phoenix, their season's done.
Wow. Luke, so for everyone who hasn't checked out the website, and it's like we say this too, there are no props now on PropSwap, but this is something to become
we have NFL draft props up there right now. There's some really good ones.
Okay, good. So you could check all that out now. But as far as the tickets, they're not. Are you have some for sale now or no?
Yeah. So the apps in New Jersey, you can still bet on the apps in New Jersey. Obviously, you can't get physical tickets, but we allow a select few group of users sell mobile bets. So there are people in New Jersey that are making NFL draft props and then posting them for sale. It's basically customers that we trust and we've worked with for a while. But yeah, I was going to talk about, there's a prop up right now at FanDuel, over 5.5 LSU players taken in the first round. Like, if that doesn't describe how good of a season they had last year, they might have six
Sure.
Players go in the first round. I mean, that is absurd.
Yeah, it's great. So, yeah, we could still play on that stuff, too. So give everyone the website again and all the info.
Yeah, propswap.com. You can find us on Twitter at propswap, Instagram at propswap. About to launch our app. Super excited about that. We've kind of been we redid all of our tech about 4 months ago. The app's been down. We had to totally reskin it and make it pretty. So that's about to launch soon. But for now, just hit the website. There's plenty of NFL draft props up for sale. You know, where will T. Higgins go? Where will Tua? You know, Tua is obviously a really dynamic guy. We don't really know where he's going to go in 2 weeks from today is the NFL draft. So, yeah, there's a handful of NFL draft props up for sale.
Well, great stuff, Luke. Awesome. We're proud of what you guys have done at PropSwap, and we're really grateful for the partnership, and all the best. We'll talk soon, okay?
Thanks, Luke.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
There you go, Luke Pergandi. He's a great guy. Went to Arizona, grew up here. And
you asked the Nick Foles question again.
Who did I ask before?
Was it somebody else asked the question? Well, I've heard it 1,000 times. I guess my only point to anybody. Like, why does the question, I mean, like, who? Anyone who's now asking the question.
It's his nickname.
I know, but aren't we all assuming by now that the answer to the question is yes? Have we heard anybody come out and say, oh, no.
I'm the one that said maybe it's, like, not ironic. Yeah, it's ironic. Like, hey,
I gotcha.
Get it? Like, you call a really big dude tiny.
Like, slim, right.
I gotcha.
Like, I probably stayed up till 12:30 last night watching the Strongest Man in the World contest on CBS Sports. Call those guys tiny.
Were those guys throwing, like, beer kegs?
Yeah, they were carrying beer kegs and big stones. At one point, they did the girl lift, where they would add a scantily clad lady to a lift, and they would squat them. So, like, the winner had, like, 6 girls on there. These dudes all have, like, they all look like they're... My wife said, oh, all these guys look like they're in the super fans. It's awesome.
We got to make fun of you, Abdallah, coming up next in your football coach, because he did something for the first time ever. This is amazing, and some of the college football stuff out there. It's next.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
I don't know how this happens, but Nick Saban, as successful as he is, maybe the best college football coach ever. He never had an email until now, the pandemic.
I saw that, and I just couldn't believe it. Now, his assistant had one, right? Isn't that what happened?
Or would do it for him or something like
his
that.
Wife. He said his wife.
Like, he would use his wife's account?
No, of his emails would get forwarded to his wife, and she would deal with them all.
How do you not have an email account, though?
Good question.
Because you're winning national championships. That's why.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
What, do you have someone use toilet paper on you, too? I mean, aren't there certain things that you do for yourself? Do you have to have an assistant for everything?
It's called wiping. Wiping.
Look, he doesn't. Listen, first of all, Roll Tide. Second of all,
Roll Tide.
Third of all, Mr. 400,000 emails. Just because Nick Saban, a.k.a. Dad, just because my dad isn't getting the Groupon deal of the day doesn't mean that he's not successful. He wipes. He does all that stuff for himself. You know what he does? He turns kids into men. He turns boys into men and gets them into the draft. And he wins rings. Best
not
college coach ever.
Not like Coach O. Coach O's the one.
Coach O's got one ring. One. Okay. How many does Saban have? Huh? How many? Huh? The most. Tied for the most. With who? Bear Bryant. That's right.
Do you know the number?
6.
Okay.
Who is the great new impressionist who works for Barstool now? It's Joey out of Indy, right? What's his last name? It's like Molnari or something like that, or Molnaro or something.
He does a good Nick Saban, doesn't
he? He's really good, and he posted something of – he did an impression of Saban trying to pick an email address and then trying to do the password and how the password wasn't strong enough. And then he got to the page, and it said, "Are you a robot? you know where you have to click on all the different things. I mean, it's...
Check the stoplights in the pictures,
Yes, it's so annoying. And it was spot on.
Wait, that's a... How often when you're trying to click the pictures, are you...
Do you get it wrong?
You're unsure about one of the pictures. You're like,
you're
wait
like,
a minute.
I don't know.
Do I see a boat? I think that's a boat.
That's a boat. I know it's a boat.
All the buildings that have a window in it, you know? And you're like, I think that is a window. I'm not sure, though.
That's a good point. I always screw that up. I always screw it up.
I mean, look, I'm bad at emailing, and I have many, many unread emails, but at least
I don't think you're
bad
at emailing. I think you're bad at like, just...
Sorting through them?
Yeah.
Now, you know what?
My wife's got the same problem, but I saw her phone was sitting out, and it was like, she's only got like 7,000. You've got like 150,000, right?
Yeah, let's me see right now. I think it even reset. It was like 2 months.
How does your phone work? With that much garbage,
it barely does. Like, what, you know, I've been missing a lot of calls lately because it rings a half ring and it goes to voicemail recently.
Well, that's because you set it up that way because you don't like to talk to people.
No, that is not true, and I've changed in that regard.
Okay.
I talk. So what is this, too? I talk. What is this college football thing from Shefty as well? And I heard some weird stuff on Get Up today about... Like, they're doing things regionally, like one conference may try to play while other conferences may not.
Well, I would say this before, I don't know what Shefty said, but look, college football, as you heard Mike Gundy say, that is the fuel, the financial fuel for a lot of these universities and a lot of these areas of the country. And, like, if they don't have a season... it's going to take a huge toll on a lot of these colleges.
So Schefter tweeted, speaking to people in and around college football this week, there is a strong conviction there will be college football this season. Uncertainty about when, multiple scenarios being debated, but they sound certain there still will be college football this season.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I think that, and hear this out real quick, and I'm not saying it's the right way, but this is how they think. And you heard Gundy talk about it as well. They're thinking, we got younger kids who are less susceptible in terms of the mortality rate to this. We have them sequestered. This is exactly what Gundy's presentation was. And they're thinking, if we could keep them sequestered, at the very least, we can play and get the television. I'm telling you, this is all driven. I'm not suggesting they're going to put kids in harm's way, but there is so much money attached to these schools, and it's not just the football program. It's how the football program and the money that's generated funds the science program and builds the libraries and all that stuff. They are truly dependent on the revenue that's created by the football programs and a lot of these conferences. It's crazy.
Yes. There's a lot going on today, Watt. I want to reset it all. Is this a great day for Bulls fans? That's the question I want to ask you and get your phone calls. You have a voice right here at 312-332-3776. We also have a new contest to introduce and some other fun stuff in the 5 o'clock hour, including the Final Four. It's all coming up in 2 minutes.